Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
BJ, we always love having our next guest in. He's at the Clearwater Casino on December 30th as well as the 31st. Please welcome to the show the always funny Craig Gass.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Two shows, by the way, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock on the 30th.
Yeah.
And also the New Year's Eve Black Light Party that you're hosting at Clearwater Casino. That begins at 9, goes to 1 a.m.
I don't know if I want black lights on people at 1 in the morning.
That's a thing.
Yeah, I think about my old roommate, Mitch Hedberg, had a joke about nothing like a black light to let you know that you need to do your laundry. Something about black lights don't really work well for me.
But yeah. So awesome.
ClearwaterCasino.com. That's where you can get tickets for the December 30th and 31st shows that actually Craig are doing.
And I am trying. It's so crazy. I love getting a former Seattle Seahawk to perform on the show with me. Mm-hmm. I did it with John Moffitt, and I've been talking to guys that I'm huge fans of, former Seahawks, that are scared to get on stage for 5 minutes. It is amazing to me. I don't know. It might still happen, but there's one guy who I would argue might be the most intimidating Seattle Seahawk of all time, and he's afraid to get on stage for 5 minutes, even if I write the jokes for him.
Yeah.
So
which is hilarious because they'll perform in front of 70,000 people.
Yeah, they'll hit people in front of, and they'll take a hit in right. front of 70,000 people, but they don't want to stand on stage.
Public speaking, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and they're in a group of people. Like, they've got their whole, all their buddies with them. Plus, they're anonymous. I mean, you know, yeah, you got their name on their back, but you got all the helmet on. You maybe feel protected, but to be out there with no helmets, nothing on in front of all those people, and you can't hit them if they don't laugh?
Yeah, it's crazy. I cannot believe the fear that some of these guys have. And I'm getting put in touch with all these great Seattle Seahawks. Like, I'm throwing out names like, well, what if is so-and-so still living in Seattle? Yeah, I'll get you his number. And none of them want to jump. There's one or two that are still, including that guy who I think is the most intimidating Seahawk of all time, but we will see. Either way, it's going to be a comedy show for Seahawk fans by Seahawk fans.
Blair Walsh is truly the most intimidating Seahawk. It's Blair Walsh.
Best jersey I've ever seen was in Minnesota. Somebody had a Blair Walsh jersey, and the name Walsh was on the left sleeve. It was like off to the left. Just like all of his kicks. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Today's a big day for me, and I don't even know, this isn't funny at all, but I've never been around Steve when this has happened, but I'm 14 years sober today.
Whoa!
14 years clean and sober. And Steve was the guy who told me I was a dick, and I needed to hear that 15 years ago.
I got news for you. It's not that special. He tells me that every morning.
It's really, he told Danny that this morning as well.
Yeah. There's something so shameful about being a drug addict. There's just something so difficult about realizing, oh man, this, I can't control this. But for some reason, you won't say it to somebody. And that's the line between life and death.
Yeah.
That just admitting to somebody like, hey man, I have a problem and I need help, is something that is the line. And when Steve told me, dude, this isn't cool, and what you're doing right now is not cool, and this is not what friends do, and that you're being a dick, and it's not cool. And I needed someone to say that to my face, because I was trying to pretend. And
so that was almost 15 years ago we had that conversation with you.
Well, that was a tough conversation.
I did a real dick move. Steve was working with Andy at the time, and Andy paid for me to fly to Seattle to do a radio show with him. Paid for the trip, and I flew into town, and the night before I was going to go in and join those guys, I ended up going to Five Points.
Oh, yeah, that's always a quality.
And, great decisions made at the 5 Point.
Yeah. The 5 Point has really created so many great lives.
French fries, great decision.
Okay. No, you know what? Actually, it started in Pioneer Square at like 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I got a hold of some Coke, and I knew at that time, you know what? I shouldn't do this all night. And so I did a little bit, and then I got some more, and I was like, all right, I'll just, you know, another hour, and then, and then it kept going, and then it kept going, and at 5 a.m., I'm supposed to be in the studio with Steve.
And this was our first show on that station that got us, that was K-Rock.
The brand new station, Jack, you guys.
So we left the end, it was a big deal, and we're like, well, you know, it wasn't going to be our full show, because Jody wasn't able, because of contract issues, she couldn't join us for the first month. So we're like, we'll have Craig join us for the first week, I think.
Yes.
To kind of help us get our feet going.
Wow.
So it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Not to make you feel worse.
Part of this big launch, By the way, this is a terrible way to promote a comedy show, by the way.
This is Craig Gass, everybody.
Clearwater Casino.
If you need him, just don't fly him out. You should be okay.
Brought to you by cocaine. Tired of having a boner? Cocaine.
But you know what? I have to tell
you. Go see Craig Gass at the Clearwater Casino. Brought to you by Crystal Meth. Jesus Christ, my nose is on fire.
Yes.
Crystal Meth. Craig Gass, ClearwaterCasino.com, December 30th. But
I vaguely know about, you know, you getting sober, but I have never heard this story told in full detail. So, yeah, even though it's not a laugh a minute, I am really compelled to hear this story because I didn't know this was your basically rock bottom moment.
Well, here's the evil thing. I had had a heart attack the year before.
Oh, God, that wasn't your rock bottom moment?
The heart attack scared me straight.
Honest to God.
Thank you.
You know, humans are really, I just want to say I love humanity because I never get surprised by the depth of the stupidity of the human
race.
I'm
wondering if the people at Clearwater Casino listening to this going, who do we book to this show?
That was 14 years ago, guys.
Yeah, really.
Is that Skippy kid still available? Maybe we can get him. What's Justin Diamond doing?
Craig Gass, Clearwater Casino, brought to you by heroin. When's the last time you pooped your pants? Heroin. I had the heart attack. The heart attack scared me straight for a little over a year, and then I relapsed, and now I'm in Seattle, and I'm just off the rails, and I do remember going, it was 5 Points at 5 a.m. I went to 5 Point to get some beer to try to balance everything out.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just obvious, like, all right, I'll just be a little bit late. And then it was like, you know what, I'll be a little bit late. And then it was like, you know what, I can't do this. And then I texted Steve and said, sorry, man, I can't make it. I'm not feeling well. And then I admitted what I had done. And then Steve, he really laid into me. And I needed to hear it. And I know there's people listening right now that are in that exact same setting where you know you have a problem. You know you have a problem. There's something wrong with what you're doing. Your life is not in control anymore, and you're not doing anything about it. In the first year that I finally stopped, 14 years ago today, 7 of my friends died. They were all comedians. The first one was Mitch Hedberg, my old roommate.
Yeah.
They were 4 drug overdoses, 3 drinking and driving car accidents.
Jeez.
And that was all in the first 12 months. And each one of those deaths was sadly a reminder to keep going. But it's really weird. You can be imprisoned by your own shortcomings and still not do anything about it. But I'm telling you, if you have to love yourself enough to want to get help. And if you do, freedom is in front of you. There's total freedom if you can just admit it and get help. And again, I know this isn't a funny way to like promote a comedy show, but and I have some funny stories. I just did a thing with Ace Frehley over the weekend that I want to tell you about. But I needed to say thank you to Steve for being enough of a friend to tell me that I was a dick. I really needed someone to talk to me like that and bust me. And I needed to get busted. I needed someone to say to my face, hey, man, you are not being a friend right now. And this is not cool. And it was I cried. It was really humiliating. And but I knew at that point that I was caught and I needed to get help. And then I did.
See, that's the beautiful
thing.
Call,
the call you give me every year, he calls me every year, is without a doubt.
Oh, really?
The one call every year that call?
Wow.
Means the world to me. Because I love you, man, and you knew that. And I always, without getting really emotional, it's one of those calls every year that I get from Craig that is just like, man, that's, if anything, that I could go to bed at night knowing is a pretty awesome thing, is knowing that me being a jackass and snapping on you because I was hurt helped you open up your eyes to something. And it's funny that, you know, rock bottom's not a heart attack, but a call from Steve is actually rock bottom.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting what is.
I'm more rock bottom than a heart attack.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah.
And you saved this dude's life. I mean, that's the other thing, is I know why Craig calls you every year, because, I mean, look, like you said, how many of your friends died? I mean, there's no reason to think that you wouldn't be on that same path had you not stopped.
Oh, there's no question. Friends of mine continue to die all the time. And they continue to go back out, and it's sad. But, again, the thing that always keeps people from getting help is shame.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you care more, and this is insane, you care more about what people are going to think of you than you do your own life. Like, you care more about what someone is going to think of you if you say, hey, man, I have a problem, I'm going to go get help, than you do actually getting the help and saving your own life. You actually have some kind of hang up on what are people going to say to you. And it was kind of like a long road to figuring out, well, what do I say to people? And it's like, you know what? Eventually, I just got to a point where, like, I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, I'm happy and I'm alive, and that's the only thing that matters. But if...
Thanks for sharing that, man. I mean,
and again,
it's highly personal, but in time, it might be inspirational to somebody. And that's the important thing.
We got a text. I'm struggling with alcohol right now. I have 8 days sober. I so needed to wake up to this morning. This morning. Thank you. Another person, good for you, Craig. I'm almost 14 years clean myself. Best years of my life. Keep on rocking the recovery. Craig, yes, Norton, all the bumps in the road of life. Ha ha, from Chris. another person says, congrats on your 14 years. Another person says, I have 14 years without a drink on the 24th, and I'm going to be at the show. I'll see you there. So,
oh, wow. Awesome. You know what I want to say also? Here's what I want to say about you, Craig, because I know a lot of folks that are in recovery. Craig Gass, though, when he's around people that are having a beverage, doing whatever, Craig is still having a fun time.
Craig finds good humor in watching everyone else be drunk.
And he doesn't make you feel bad about it. It's really, and yet, at the same time, you're able to stay on the path you want to stay on, because when we met you in Vegas, which is like one of the worst places to ever try to be sober. Sober from anything. I don't care what kind of problem you can have. Vegas is the wrong place to go.
Yeah, we overdosed on chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you've definitely got a really good vibe to you. And because I've known you a long time as well.
Yeah.
And I wasn't as close to you as obviously Steve was. But there's definitely a distinct difference between the guy I knew when I first met you and the guy now. I call it being in charge of the crazies. A lot of great performers, they're accidentally good, but they're not good all the time, because then the crazy takes over, and sometimes they're entertaining, and other times they're a mess and they make everybody's lives miserable. Then there are the people like you who master the crazy. You call on it when it's good for you, and then you're able to then put it where it belongs so that you can have a great life that doesn't hurt you and the others around you. That is a hell of a, like you said, the freedom you get coming out on the other side of mastering the crazy, because crazy is awesome when you're in charge. And it's not awesome when you're not.
There was a lot of hangups of thinking, like, how am I going to do stand-up and be around alcohol? Especially, for some reason, it was specifically where I started at the Comedy Underground here in Seattle 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine myself being in that club without doing drugs and drinking. There was a guy that used to show up all the time, and you'd have, like, one or two beers, and this Coke dealer would always show up, that Joey Diaz, Joey Diaz started here in Seattle.
I know that.
And yeah, Joey started. It was me, Joey, Josh Wolf, who's now on Working with Chelsea.
Oh, that's so
Handler.
Funny. Josh Wolf just texted me this morning because he's on our buddy Weeze's show this morning. How crazy.
Really?
You mentioned his name.
Yeah, Josh was another old roommate of mine. And but this Coke dealer would show up, and Joey Diaz had this great line. He goes, Craig Gass, every time I see that guy, my heart stops. I can't even breathe every time he walks in. And there was just a thing about being in this one place. Like, I cannot hang out there and not drink. drink. I can't see it. And I just figured out how to do it. And then how am I going to do comedy and be around people who want to buy me shots? Like, what am I going to say to people who want to buy me shots? And, you know, and yeah. Now it's just, I clearly don't put out a vibe that I'm doing shots anymore. But a couple weeks ago, I was in Vegas and I'm walking down the strip and somebody walked past me and said, cocaine. And I was like, all right, still got it. Like, I was, that's kind of cool, you know? Like, I still look, you know, no, but maybe later.
This is what I hate.
You know,
he walks down the strip.
Okay, you're going to share it.
You go ahead, Steve.
I know where you're going. One of my favorite moments.
I hate this.
I was with BJ when this happened.
I hate this, man.
We walked out of the Cosmopolitan and somebody said, yo, my man. Like, someone immediately, like, it looked like, oh my God, it's BJ. Can I get a picture? It was like that kind of like, no way. Mm-hmm. And this guy said, I know you need some boobies.
Yeah.
And that happened the entire time.
Everywhere
he went, like
every place that we went, some guy was offering a hooker to BJ. Nobody else, not Chris or I.
Nobody else.
We'd be walking down the street, and people were doing like these guys were doing double takes. It was you'd see like this dude who was like a deaf pimp. He'd go, "I know you need boobies." Like he'd be like, "It's so many."
You get marked for a guy that goes, "Oh, I know you might either have or want to get some cocaine." I get marked for you're not. I know you've never been laid, sir. I can help you out with that problem. It's like, really?
Well, yeah. Have you seen yourself? I mean, it makes sense.
Gee, thanks, Danny.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beating.
At first, I'm like, dude, you're just reading into this. And then finally, by day two, I looked at BJ and go, I think you're onto something, man. I think that you are being typecast as the guy that could afford hookers, which is a compliment that they think you have the cash to afford the hookers. They looked at me and they're like, yeah, we're not getting blood from a turnip. Like, there's no chance he's going to give
I like how you spin that they think I'm a guy that can afford hookers as opposed to here's a guy that can't get laid without paying for it.
See, that's what I was going with.
Three of you guys,
I'm going to go with BJ as the one that has not been laid.
Oh, that's lovely.
Love you, wow, Danny.
Hey, Merry Christmas, BJ. Really, happy holidays to the guy that I'm about to kick out of the studio. Jesus.
Well, I wanted to say that because I've never been around Steve on these on December 14th. December 14th, by the way, is the anniversary of my heart attack. I had a heart attack 16 years ago today.
Whoa,
and that scared me straight for a year and 2 weeks. And then on New Year's Eve at a Metallica show in Las Vegas, I relapsed and then just went off the rails until December 14th of 2004. And then a light just turned on. And it's weird. I just realized I can't do this anymore. And I hope to God for anybody out there who is struggling with an addiction or alcoholism that light turns on for you, because it really is like hitting the lottery. I was hanging out with people doing tons of coke. I was dating women doing tons of coke to the point where even the women that I barely knew that I was dating, we would say to each other, this is bad. Mm-hmm. Like we need help. Yeah, we really need help. And we wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Like we knew that we were bad and we just didn't stop it. And if you, you just have to, again, you have to love yourself enough to get help. And if you're struggling, today can be your first day. If you just make that first step, today can be that first day for you if you need the help. You just need to love yourself enough to get help. So, and again, I have some stories about KISS that I want to tell you.
Yes, everybody.
I'm at the clear.
A lot of text messages from people really appreciative that you're sharing this story. Yeah, as much as you think you're not telling jokes and not being your typical funny self, you're helping a lot of people. I'm reading these texts, and it's overwhelming. One person, I got sober 15 years ago. To all the struggles, the worst day sober, 100 times better than the best day as a drunk. Yeah. 15 amazing years, and I don't miss it a bit.
So Craig Gass is performing at the Clearwater Casino. We will be doing other stuff, but I'm highly appreciative of you sharing, Craig.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Brought to you by drug addiction. Where's my money? Drug addiction. Craig Gass at the Clearwater Casino. ClearwaterCasino.com.
December 30th. Two shows, 3 p.m., 7 p.m. Plus, he's got the Clearwater Casino's New Year's Eve Black Light Party. That's on the 31st. You want to be there at that. And like Craig said, ClearwaterCasino.com. We got more with Craig Gass, but here's a question. What happens when someone goes on social media to try to find someone to make a baby with her? Oh, yeah. It's another edition of Facebook Drama. And yeah, Craig's here, so you know we're doing it with him.
Oh!
At 8:17. On The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
The Rock of Seattle.
As you know, we're teaming up with the Washington State Council of Firefighters. You Rockaholics have really been just doing a great job for us. We want to raise 1,000. We want to get 1,000 new coats on kids that are in need this holiday season. And you have been helping out big time. Because all it takes is $34. That puts a brand new American-made coat on a Pacific Northwest kid. And, man, you Rockaholics have just been knocking it out like you do every year for us. Coats for Kids is such an awesome thing. And the kids love it. Any donation helps. If you don't have the full $34, do whatever you can.
Shout out to Jared and Mike and Connie. All these people have been just putting jackets on kids. It's really cool of them to donate. Kim donated well over $100.
Oh, look at that Kim, man. Kim's, she's awesome. So you want to donate, you want to help, you want to spread the word on your social networks, all of that can be done by going to KISW.com.
Last time we checked, we were under $13,000 raised. Now we're over $15,000 raised for Coach for Kids. We're on our way to reaching our goal of $34,000.
Thanks, Rockaholics. We really, really appreciate it. Again, go to KISW.com.
Now it's time for Facebook
And Facebook Drama is brought to you by Car Toys. And BJ, this is our opportunity to point out the idiots that are on Facebook.
Idiots.
This is an actual Facebook post. The drama unfolds because of it. And instead of us acting out, we have Craig Gass and his celebrity friends.
All right.
That are going to be acting out this Facebook drama. So this time around, the original poster's name is Mary. She will be played by Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Playing the role of Mark will be Mark Wahlberg.
That's right, guys. And I'm going to be out of breath the whole time.
Playing the role of Tracy. I think you know where I'm going. Tracy Morgan.
Yeah. I'm
going
to put a baby in your booty.
Playing the role of Al is Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah.
And playing the role of Gene, of course, from Kiss, Gene Simmons.
And if you miss any part of Facebook drama, guess what? You can see it for $29.95 at kissonline.com. Boom.
So once again, the original poster is Mary. So Gilbert Gottfried, please take it away.
All right, fellas, I need help. Who is going to help me make a baby? I'm serious. My dad brought it up, and I'm ready to be a mother. I don't need a partner because I have a lot of family. Hit me up. Thanks. Aflac.
Mark Wahlberg here. What the F did I just read?
Hey, baby. I'll be your baby daddy.
Are you serious? Part of me thinks you're not kidding.
I ain't kidding. I'm down to procreate. We can even do it a few times to make sure it works. I wasn't asking if you were serious, but we all know that you'll have sex with anyone. I'm just wondering if Mary is serious.
Oh, I am! Sure! My baby would be such a great addition to all of our lives, so now is the time. How cool would this be?
I think it'd be really cool. Let me do this. I'm free this weekend.
Oh, I'm not free this weekend, but DM me your number and we'll chat.
Okay, I'll give you the greatest Christmas gift ever. A baby.
Guys, am I allowed to report posts on Facebook? Because of all the pure stupidity of all these posts?
Tracy, you should see how much Mary will pay you to do this. P.S. You're both stupid.
Oh! Don't hate!
Yeah, don't hate. Let's procreate. That's crazy.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, that.
Clearwater Casino.
Yeah,
December
30. Right.
Craig
Gass, everybody. ClearwaterCasino.com.
Making babies.
I saw this show post. For Seahawk fans by Seahawk fans.
So when I saw this post, I legit was just like, I cannot believe this.
That's just nuts.
And I kept waiting for just kidding. No.
No kidding.
No. There are people out there that are completely fine with just getting knocked up and don't care about who the dad is.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Facebook is the memes that are incorrect, but people post them and go, figures.
Yeah.
You go, someone just put some words to a picture. Like, and don't we all see those girls on Facebook that are always posting, like, inspirational quotes? Like, if you don't want me, at my worst.
Oh, yeah.
You don't deserve me at my best. Like, aren't we all looking at that going, man, this girl loves dating a-holes. Like, yeah. Isn't that, like, we're all thinking the same thing, right? Like, you put your stuff out there, and we're all watching, and it's like, you don't realize people are judging, you know, what you're doing. And
And
I always love the super heartfelt, deep thoughts that they'll post, like, and as a comment, and then they'll post a picture of them, like, in a bikini.
Yeah.
And it's like, I appreciate that, because I just had to endure reading that heartfelt, motivational speech, and at least there you are with, like,
yeah, you know, see, quid pro quo. Nothing. I mean, you know, if you want me to sit and go through all that, you know, you got to give me something.
I don't know if this was on the air with you guys or at dinner, but I remember saying out loud to you guys, dude, you know what the best, if you see a hot girl on Facebook, you know what the best category of the photo album is? And Steve went, Halloween! And I said, yes!
Yeah.
I said, yep. Halloween.
That or summer vacation.
Yeah, summer vacation. Halloween, summer vacation.
Halloween's the best photo album for any hot chick.
Yeah.
When you get a friend will catch you like, yeah, well, let me see what your Halloween pictures look like.
Where are your Halloween pics at?
You are in, lady.
It's I know, it's so true. And and they will not understand that this whole album is nothing but basically masturbatory theater for every one of your guy friends.
Yeah, fighting is the best on Facebook. I love watching drama on Facebook. So you guys are on to something really good here.
I enjoy just the really poor attempts at flirting with somebody on Facebook.
Oh, dude. When a guy says something super, super creepy and follows it up with LOL, like somehow that can't, like, you know.
That takes it away.
Hey, let's see the bottom half, LOL. Like, no, dude, what do you mean, LOL?
Yeah.
Let's see the bottom half.
You sound like a sexual predator.
Yeah.
Like, LOL.
LOL. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's not LOL. Stop being a creep. Like,
I saw one where a woman posted something, and she was obviously pretty scantily clad, and the guy was like, yeah, I'd love to see how that, like, how comfortable that bed is. And you look at the picture of the bed behind her, and it's just, like, stacked with crap on it. Like, magazines and like, clothes and hair products. And
really comfortable.
Like, right!
Yeah.
Like, pick something else to flirt about.
Oh, God, I know. Guys just don't know. They just don't know that the direct approach works with us, but really, you gotta be clever.
And, BJ, I hate to bring this up, but your son told me his move at the Christmas party.
My son is gameless. There's a move. They made a movie about him. It would be gameless in Seattle.
Your son told me that he was hitting up all the rock chicks at the rock girls at the Christmas party last night. And I said, "What was your move?" And he said, "I just said, hey, let me give you my number. You give me your number, and then I'll text you. And then you text me back."
I witnessed it firsthand, Craig.
Really?
I was standing there. I was saying goodbye to some people. I was saying goodbye to Danny.
Yeah.
And we're all just standing in a circle. And then drunk Joe just kind of barrels in with his phone out of his hand. So, like, he worked this line up.
Yeah. Really?
Phone in one hand, a box of cupcakes and cheesecake, things that he was taking from the party home with him, in the other hand, and just looks at them and goes, "Hey, how about you give me your number? I'll give you mine. I'll text you. You text me back.
Yeah. I'll call you.
Yeah.
If I get your voicemail, I'll leave you a mess." Like,
he's a good dude. Then when he drinks, he becomes a dumb dude.
And you say that, but he got the numbers.
Don't know what numbers they were.
Well, there's an innocence to it. There's an innocence to, like, I'll text you, you text me back, and then I'll call you, you call me back. Like,
if he ended it with LOL, that would have been creepy. Yeah.
Right. It reminds me of, like, I've been lucky enough to work on a bunch of really popular TV shows, but my first episode of Family Guy, I worked with Seth MacFarlane, and I'm a huge fan of his, and I talked to him like I was talking to a girl for the first time. Every joke he made, I went, ah! Right? Like, I tried way too hard. Yeah, and that's,
it's tough being a fanboy in a professional situation.
Yeah.
I gotta add, so speaking of being a fanboy, both Craig and I are huge KISS fans. Hell, my brother's flying in from Saudi Arabia. He's over there stationed. He's gonna come in for the Tacoma show just to celebrate the last KISS show, because that's the band that him and I always bonded over, so I'm really pumped about that.
Yeah.
But you said you had some Ace Frehley stories.
I worked with Ace Frehley last weekend. We did a show together in New Jersey, and he performed his entire solo album for the first time in its entirety on stage last week. And he is the most honest member. He's the no filter guy. Like, Paul is a rock star. Gene is careful about what he says. Ace has no filter at all about what he's been through, and it's
shocking.
It's amazing, but it's crazy because I'm a Kiss fan, and I've been doing jokes about Kiss on stage. You know, I've been working on this piece for years called "I Think Gene Simmons Is Going to Kill Me,"
right?
And I found out, I made friends with Paul Stanley, and Paul Stanley gave me his cell phone number, and I thought, oh my God, that's crazy, until...
Did you say, I'll text you, you can text me?
You know, if you text me,
yeah,
I'll text you. And then you call me, I'll call you back! People, let me hear ya!
Like, yeah. Oh, and man. I actually called Paul Stanley the day after he gave me... There's people whose phone numbers that I have, who I just, every time I see their phone number, I think, I'm not gonna call that guy, because what am I gonna say to that famous guy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason why I don't pick up the phone when it's a block number. If it's a block number, that's either an old Coke dealer or a famous guy. And I've had moments where I've picked up the phone and from a block number and I hear, hi Greg, it's Alec Baldwin. I'm sitting here with Andy Garcia. Do you mind doing your Al Pacino impression for me? And I go, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And I'll be sitting in a Long John Silver's.
That is so funny.
Yeah. And I'll go, yeah. Get some hush puppies. And then I'll walk outside. And it's very unsettling. But for some reason, the day after Paul Stanley gave me his cell phone number, I called him the next day as Gene Simmons. I prank called him. He picked up the phone. He went,
no.
Hello?
Hi, Paul. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
And Paul went, okay. And I started selling him Kiss products. And then I finally said, oh, Paul, it's Craig Gass, a stand-up comedian. I just wanted to say hello. Sorry, I was just messing with you. And he went,
you know, I was going to say, you're starting to sound like that effing comedian now. Selling all your Kiss products, you know.
Yeah, but it's crazy. There's a lot of, they are... an old married couple, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
I hosted a Q&A with Kiss a few months ago where I had fans coming up on my right side. The band Kiss is on my left side. Gene is closest to me. And I had a fan come up, hey, we have Steve here from Seattle. Steve, what's your question? And the guy goes, my question is for Paul Stanley. Paul, you have a rose tattoo on your right shoulder. I just want to know if that tattoo has any meaning. And Gene leaned into me, not realizing he was leaning into my microphone, which was down here.
Oh,
and he leaned in and said,
yeah, it means he's gay.
And I went,
and
Paul heard it and went,
wait a second, hold on, Gene, wait, repeat the question, Gene. Repeat your question. And Gene wouldn't look at him. He's elbowing me going, like, you know, and he goes, Craig, tell Gene to repeat what he just said. And I go, I'm not getting in between you guys. No. This is between you. Not like, they really are like an old married couple. There's a fight of a Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons fight on YouTube. Have you ever seen that?
No.
You can find somebody dumped an interview from 20 years ago from the Dick Clark New Year's Eve special, and they dumped the uncensored, uncut interview where there's this really passive-aggressive fight where the guy interviewing goes, all right, Paul, Gene, it looks like the Animalize era looks like what time of their career is. And this guy says, I'm going to ask you some softball questions, Paul, and then Gene, same thing, and then we'll just go back and forth, and we're going to cut up your answers, and Dick is going to cut to it on New Year's Eve. I'm like, okay, great. All right, Gene, quick question. What's the craziest thing anyone's ever asked you to autograph? And Gene goes,
probably a baby. Somebody handed me a baby, and I autographed the baby's head.
And they go, Paul? And Paul goes,
yeah, the fake baby story. Anyways.
And then Gene just has a look on his face like, oh, okay. And they ask Paul a question. Then they go to Gene. Gene, what's it like being on the road? Are girls really that crazy when you're on the road?
Well, when you're in Kiss, women will do anything you want.
Back to Paul. Same question. And he goes,
you know, any moron can make up stories about having sex on the road, but the reality is...
And Gene just stops the interview and goes,
can we stop for 1 second? What are you doing? You're making me look like an ass. What are you...
And he goes... And Paul won't even look him in the face. Paul's looking at the camera and goes, keep going. Just keep rolling. It's okay. Keep rolling. And he won't even acknowledge him. And he's right there. Yeah.
I'm looking at the video and I don't even hear the audio. And I can just see the tension between the two of them. And you're right. Paul is not looking anywhere near Gene Simmons during this.
And Gene is trying to tell him, like, dude, why are you making me look like a dick here? Like, what? And he won't look him in the face. He will not acknowledge him. Yeah.
I like one comment just says, when you take away the makeup and the guitars and the explosions, it's just two old women.
bickering.
Wow. I mean, that when you're together that long, I mean, that's a relationship, and it's probably a relationship that maybe shouldn't be happening, except they have to stay together for business.
It's amazing. The guy who taught me how to do the Gene Simmons impression is a friend of mine, John Bianelli, who works for the band Aerosmith. And John, every time we talk to each other, that is how we communicate with each other. He picks up the phone. Hello.
Hi, John. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
And he'll go,
what's up, Gene? Not much. Listen, I hope you don't mind, but Aerosmith's entire catalog is available for $49.95 at kissonline.com.
That's how we talk to each other. Well, a few years ago, Kiss and Aerosmith put a tour together. John is in the front office at Vindaloo Music. That's their management company. The phone rings and someone says, John, it's for you. And he goes, all right, put it through. He picks up the phone and he hears,
hi, John, this is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
And John goes, what's up, you fat Jew bastard? And there's a long pause and he hears,
I'm sorry.
And there's another long pause and he goes, Craig? And he hears, no, it's not Craig Gass. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Gosh.
Now listen, I need to get a hold of Stephen and Joe. And he went right to his question. Didn't even faze him.
Wow.
Didn't even faze him.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah, the big part of the show.
I love the fact that Gene Simmons is like, knows you and goes, geez, every time I call people, they think it's Craig Gass.
He's like, this is Gene Simmons, not Craig Gass.
Yeah. It's amazing that I've become part of the guy's life. Yeah, it's a big part of the show at Clearwater Casino. And I'm excited because I used to do shows in Bremerton years ago that were so much, like some of the most fun shows I've ever done in my life were in Bremerton at a bar out there that used to do comedy. And it's my first time going back to that area to do shows at the Clearwater. So, yeah, I'm excited. And
December 30th.
December 30th is comedy. Two shows of comedy.
3 p.m., 7 p.m.
December 31st is a New Year's Eve party. I'm hosting the party. It's not a stand-up comedy show. I'll be, you know, telling some jokes. Most of you won't care. Most of you will
probably, yeah, because it's New Year's Eve.
It's a party. Nobody cares.
So that's
you'll have some fun conversations, though.
I will have a lot of fun conversations. And it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a fun New Year's Eve party. So absolutely, if you want to do something fun on New Year's Eve, come join me at Clearwater Casino. If you want to see a comedy show, December 30th is your day.
And here's the website, clearwatercasino.com. All right, yesterday, Steve did get this one wrong.
Who headlined the Super Bowl halftime show in 2018?
Oh, man.
Lady Gaga.
That's it.
Oh.
No.
Katy Perry.
No.
I know it wasn't that.
Oh, damn.
Damn, son.
Taylor Swift.
No.
I can't believe it, Steve. I mean, we both forgot JT. It was Justin Timberlake that actually hosted last year's Super Bowl halftime show. And if you want to play Beat Migs and have one of Craig Gass's celebrity friends play for you, here's the number, 206-449-1181. That's 206-449-1181. We're playing Beat Migs with Craig Gass playing for you at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.